understanding the business is different levels, and it can mean slightly different things across industries. On its highest level, you understand what it takes to do the operations that support generating the revenue. You don't have to understand every single desk level procedure, but you should have some appreciation of what it takes, how things flow, where and how we get pain points.
Welcome to the CFO Show. I'm your host, Melissa Howitson, CFO of Vena. In this episode, we continue our series on finance business partnering, specifically examining the crucial relationship between the CFO and COO. We explore how the synergy of the CFO's financial insight and the COO's operational expertise can lead to enhanced strategic decision-making, streamlined operations, and accelerated growth. Joining me is Sandra Clark, the Chief Operating Officer of Blue Shield of California. Sandra oversees the daily operations of a health plan serving over 4.8 million members. In her role, she oversees the company's operations, transformation, customer experience, growth, and marketing functions. Before joining Blue Shield of California in 2018 as Chief Financial Officer, she held executive finance roles at several other companies. Sandra, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Nice to see you, Melissa.
Yes, you as well. So can you share a bit about your background for the audience and what led you to your current role with Blue Shield of California?
It's an interesting and unusual journey. I have been in six different industries. I started my career as a financial analyst, working for General Dynamics, where they were building nuclear submarines in Connecticut. Talk about a bit of a difference from healthcare. And through a series of moves, always in the financial side of things, went to companies across these different industries, including 11 years at a water treatment company, which became part of Siemens Water Technologies Group. And then I moved over into healthcare, when I went to Philips Healthcare and joined their global business group that was focused on defibrillators, of all things. And I really got hooked on healthcare when I had the opportunity to go and meet a couple of people who had used the defibrillators that we produced to actually save somebody's life. It's extremely powerful when you get to realize that this little thing that you are helping the line people produce, it actually made a difference in saving someone's life. One of the stories that hit me the hardest was we had a salesperson that went to watch his son's football game and someone had a cardiac event and he raced over and got the defibrillator out of his car and they saved that child, that teenager.
Wow.
So it makes you say, okay, I think I want to stay in healthcare. This is pretty impactful. And I liked the idea of doing something that I felt like I'm contributing something positive to the world. And then I had the opportunity to get to learn the pharmaceutical industry. And I became the U.S. head of finance for a Japanese-based pharma company called Daiichi Sankyo. And I learned a lot about the pharmaceutical industry, a lot more than what you might hear in the news sometimes these days. And then I got a call that asked if I was interested in talking to Blue Shield of California about the chief financial officer role for that company. And I thought, well, I've seen healthcare from a few different aspects. I'd like to see if I can help with truly transforming healthcare, which is the mission that Blue Shield has set for itself. So I went from for-profit publicly traded companies over into a not-for-profit with a mission to create a healthcare system that's worthy of all our families and our friends and is sustainably affordable, which is not a trajectory we're on right now. I'd been there 4 years when I had the opportunity to move from the CFO role into the COO role, and that's what I'm doing right now.
And so you've had an interesting journey in that you made your way up in finance, you ultimately were heading up finance, you've been a CFO. And now you're sitting in that COO role. which is really interesting. You could speak to this on this podcast. You could speak to both sides of it on in terms of what we could do better. So it's going to be some really interesting insights to hear your experiences from both seats. Maybe for our audience, before I jump into my other questions, how do you describe the role of the COO and what the mandate is there?
The COO role is very broad in its definition. A COO role in one company often looks different than in another, even within health insurance companies, as an example. In my case, it includes operations and customer experience. I own our internal process transformation, as well as procurement, corporate development and partnerships with other Blue plans. And I have P&L responsibilities for all of our business lines and a few other assorted things. Some COO roles might not include all of those components. They may include others. It's very hard to pin down, as I said, by industry or even within an industry.
What was it? You were sitting on the financial side, this opportunity presented. What drew you into the operational side of the house?
Well, in this particular case, my boss called and said, well, we now have a vacancy. The COO at the time left to be CEO at another company. And he said, so you're COO now. So it was a little bit of a, okay. But it made a lot of sense because I have always had a deep interest in operations, in what makes a business run. And I had been told repeatedly through my career that it made me a little unique across different types of finance people that other business individuals had encountered, because I was always trying to understand the things behind the numbers so that they made more sense. What drove the business? How did it work? Who are our competitors? All those sorts of things. And then over the past probably 10 years or so before moving into the COO role, I had been assigned over time in prior companies as well as at Blue Shield, things that I would call finance adjacent. So operationally oriented, but also with a deep financial attribute to them. So for example, real estate and facilities management sometimes falls under a COO, sometimes falls under a CFO. I had responsibility for that. I've had responsibility for things like meetings and events, procurement a number of times. So it made sense in that it was a big step up, but a step compared to what I was doing, not a wholesale night and day change. And you know, a good CFO partners with the COO, the two of them should be very closely aligned. And I had always operated that way with the COOs at Blue Shield. So that also gave me familiarity with the organization.
One thing that I find interesting is, you know, we talk a lot on this podcast about the strategic office of finance and the need for finance to come from not just being in the back office, but actually taking that seat at the table in helping with the other leadership in the business to drive the strategy and drive the direction of the company. And I think the COO role is one that also is so closely connected to that and that strategy. And so, you know, that's another interesting outcome as people in finance do step up. And you talked about that curiosity in the business. You have to want to understand what's happening in the other parts of the business. Be curious, as we lean in, it does open up potentially other career paths for folks in finance or the other way around, the more that we're leaning into one another's area to really come together for some better outcomes. What are your thoughts on, you know, how those two work together and the importance of strategy and working together as a team?
I completely agree with all that you said. There is a deep relationship with the CFO, the COO, and the chief strategy officer. And I think that it's really important that finance people do not just look at a bunch of numbers and say, here, go make this change, or, well, why can't you just grow revenue 10%? There's a whole lot of stuff underneath that that you need to understand. And so I think really successful business partners, which is what finance people should be, ask those questions. They naturally have that curiosity and they want to draw those lines. And when you're sitting in that finance role, you have an opportunity to see the financial side of the strategy. And then the COO has to be deeply engaged with a chief strategy officer, if there is one, but with the CFO and the CEO on what that strategy is for the company, both in the short and long term. Because at the end of the day, the COO has to say whether or not they can execute this and how they're going to execute it and what it's going to take. Because your day-to-day operations should be a derivation of what you need to do to achieve that strategy. So there's a very, very strong link there. And when you have the critical thinking, the analytical skills that you get from something like finance, and then that deep understanding of the business, it can be very, very helpful to make sure that you can execute at the highest level possible.
Now that you're sitting in the COO seat, what metrics matter to you, and have they changed at all from the ones that you were more fixated on in the CFO role?
I'd say I'm still concerned about many of the same ones, but to your point, I don't pay as close attention to those. Now, my metrics are, of course, for our business line financial performance, it's still revenue and margin and income. It's also what are our customer satisfaction measurements? Are we answering calls within our stated goals? Are we processing claims? Are we responding to subscribers that contact us at the with the appropriate information and in the turnaround time that we have committed to do? Those are many of the metrics that I pay attention to now from an operational perspective. And then we have others around our clinical quality, which, while I do not run clinical, we believe there should be segregation there. They deeply matter to the performance of the business lines for which I'm responsible. So we have a strong partnership there. And so I'm very focused on those too.
How would you say, as you sit in the seat of COO, that finance has offered some of the best value to you? And where have you seen this relationship be most productive?
Finance offers a lot of value when they know the business and they can come to you and they can see patterns in the numbers, in the metrics that finance is tracking, that identify potential issues where I need to go solve an operational root cause. So their knowledge of the business, their curiosity, I keep coming back to that, but it's really important, can help me because I can't look at everything at once, nor can my leadership team. They can come and look at it from a different angle. I love the perspective that you get on the business from finance, because you're sitting from a slightly different seat. And so you just see things a little differently. And when you are able to do that and have a real two-way conversation, you can both uncover things that maybe you wouldn't have identified otherwise. So they add a lot of value there. And then when you're trying to do hard things around how am I going to balance the number of initiatives that I want to do with the available resources, people as well as funding for that matter, I have found finance to be extremely important in helping come up with the criteria that we're going to use, evaluate the different prospective initiatives that we have, and help me come to my recommendation on where we ought to focus our time and energy. So they're just really important partners all the way around. I can't imagine not working in lockstep with my finance partners. It's just as important as my clinical partners.
Let's move down a level into some of the more tactical approaches. What, in terms of approach, have you seen in terms of the best business partnering and how to really make that work between finance and your team?
Both sides need to understand where they're experts and where they're not. So you don't have to be an expert at everything, and I wouldn't believe you if you said you were. So both sides have to have a little humility around what they need to learn from the other. Both have to be passionately focused first and foremost on what's best for the business and not what's in it for me. So if you have a situation where you're more worried about how you or your team looks versus what's going to be the best outcome for the business, that's not going to be a healthy relationship. One where you hold each other in equal regard and respect so that, as I said, you're having that two-way dialogue. When I was on the finance side, one of my favorite COOs, he would call or he would stop by my office. We'd call them the drive-bys, and we would spitball different things. And it was just a way to get the creative juices going because we'd both be looking at things differently. And I now rely on finance from the other side exactly that same way. But you've got to have trust. You've got to both have some humility, and you've both got to be focused on the number one thing, which is doing what's right for the business. And that means, in our case, what's doing the best for our subscribers, our members, and our employer groups.
It's interesting you talk about those drive-bys, because when I reflect on my career, some of my greatest mentorship has come from COOs that I have worked with. You know, they may have been peers, but you really do, if you work closely enough together, you understand each other, you can find ways that you're both doing things that you learn, and you can be advocates for one another, or even a safe place to, like you said, just bounce those ideas off. Like, I'm thinking of this, what do you think? And similarly. And so, you know, that's something I've really valued along the way, is having that partner, like running side by side. We're in this together, and, you know, regularly having communications and bouncing ideas off of, because, you know, I also love when they shine a light on, you know, hey, I wasn't thinking about that, or, you know, that doesn't seem like a good idea because it might be received by the business this way. Or if you're going to say that, here's a different way to convey the message so that it's going to resonate with my team. And so, yeah, it can be a really great relationship for the business, but also I think for the individuals that are sitting in our seats and our teams, if we feel that we've got that partnership to help one another, you know, feel like we're going to, at the end, deliver better outcomes than we might have if we just went and did it alone.
I completely agree with that. I think the best years I've had professionally and seen the business have was when I had that kind of a trusting partnership with the COO when I was in that role, or now with the chief strategy officer, where sometimes we'd walk into one another's office with the cone of silence over our head, as it might be. But we knew that we were supportive of one another. You could do, as you said, bounce those ideas and say, I love you, but that is not going to cut it. And do it in a safe space where you didn't and don't feel hesitant to share the crazy idea. And sometimes the crazy idea can get teased out into something that is extremely successful. And so that's exciting when you see that too.
Now, on the flip side, where have you seen some of the greatest tension between the Office of Finance and the COO office?
Some of it has to do with what we need to achieve, say, financially, versus what the business feels it can actually execute, or vice versa, what the business feels it needs from a resource perspective to execute, and finance is saying the numbers don't add up, we can't do that. And so that's I think a healthy and natural tension in some ways, but that's where I think some of the friction can come from. And I may have said to you once before, one of my biggest aha moments as I moved into the COO role was I would be sitting in the CFO role and I would be looking at certain metrics or margin performance. Why can't they just fix this? And then you go over to the COO role and you understand what it takes to actually do whatever this is and go, oh, okay, now I understand why it's not just snap your fingers and it's good. So That lack of understanding on each side can create some tension. And then the other thing, as I mentioned before, is just you've got the competing demands or expectations around what you're going to be able to deliver financially, and then what it might take to actually do that. And I want to stress that it's kind of unique for what I do at Blue Shield, because we are a nonprofit with a margin cap. So we pledge that if we make more than 2% net income, we give it back to our members and or our communities. That feels really good. It also means that we operate with a much narrower band of what we're going to be able to do from an investment in innovation, et cetera. And we do still have to be competitive from a cost side. You know, we can't be some crazy premium cost versus other health plans in California or nationally. So that's the natural healthy tension that I think you see even among the tightest relationships between COOs and CFOs. And luckily, if you have that trust that we talked about before, you recognize where and why it's occurring and you work through it. But it doesn't mean you don't have those moments where you're just saying, you aren't hearing me.
It's interesting as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, we sometimes talk in finance, like we don't have the magic money tree. We haven't found the magic money tree. And I'm guessing now in role of COO, and I haven't found the magic wand, because it would be really great if we could find both of those things, because it is challenging, right? What you want to be true and reality of what you can make true are two different things.
That's right. I do think that my finance background gives me a little bit different perspective on some of that, and I totally could use that magic wand. But I have always joked about the money tree. And in fact, I said I turned over the magic seeds to the incoming CFO. But I do try to put that part of it into perspective when we're looking at things. But yeah, I like the money tree. I also put a picture up once at a town hall where I showed the Geico money man with the dollars flying off of him and said, I'm not made of money, and I don't think any of you are. So that's another one that I've used to illustrate what.
That's a good image. I can totally picture what you're talking about. What do you think is one area where finance teams could do a better job working with the COO?
I think if you don't understand the business, and that's a pretty broad statement, so let me, but if you don't understand the business, I think it's hard to have some of those dialogues and be that thought partner that I was describing before. And understanding the business is different levels, and it can mean slightly different things across industries. But on its highest level, you understand, at least to some degree, what it takes to do the operations that support generating the revenue that you've walked through from start to finish, not a procure-to-pay cycle or a cash cycle from billing to when it's collected. But when we get an order, whether that's a physical good order or it's a subscription or a membership, this is what it takes to put it in, and then this is what it takes to execute it. And you can understand that at different levels. You don't have to understand every single desk level procedure, but you should have some appreciation of what it takes, how things flow, and then therefore where and how we get pain points. Because I think those are the insights, or those help to create the ability to generate the insights by finance to make those connections between what we're seeing in the numbers and what's going in the business. So I think that one's really important. And then I'll say it again, that humility, where no matter how much you think you understand, you are not living that every day. And so you need to always come with a question or an openness to learn in the discussion. And the same thing should be true on the COO side. I'm not saying it's one way at all, but that's how we become better partners to each other.
It's easy when you're not walking in those shoes to have assumptions, but it's very eye-opening once you get closer to it. Can you share with us a story where a strong relationship between COO and CFO led to a better business outcome?
I was on the CFO side at the time, but during COVID, which was, of course, a very stressful period on the overall healthcare space, we had a lot of members who were losing their jobs because businesses were closing due to the shutdowns. And they were extremely stressed out about losing their health care at a point in time when you needed it more than ever. And the CEO, the COO, and I worked together on a program for how we could take money that we had pledged to give back to the community that year and use it to support members who were behind on their health insurance premiums. And it took a lot of work for us together because we had to have a financial program in place. We had to have an operational program in place. We had to make sure we had the appropriate regulatory approvals. And we did it quickly and we did it fairly seamlessly. And so it was a better outcome for the business, I suppose you could say, because these people were able to keep their insurance and hopefully they remember Blue Shield positively as a result. But more importantly, it was a better outcome, I'll call it on a societal level, at a point where there was a lot of stress on everyone. And so it was really important for how we could do our part.
Sounds like a very impactful initiative to come together on. So that's a great example.
Another one, if I could share, is that Blue Shield stepped up and did a lot of work in California around testing, getting whole testing programs put in place, and then on how vaccines were going to get distributed so that they could be deployed to patients. And it took a lot of our operational talent away from working on the business fully. And so we, the COO and the CFO, had to work together on what that was going to mean for the business, what kind of contingencies did we need to put in place, whole scenario planning, and do it in a way that kept the business moving, even though some key resources had to be diverted for, again, the good of the overall population. And you do those things in both cases when you have a high degree of trust in one another.
I find it's interesting in a moment like what you're talking about, a moment of crisis or things aren't going according to original plan, that is when you really see what those relationships, that goodwill, that trust that you've established, you see the fruits of what can come from that. And if you haven't been building that up in advance, you also see how much it can really impair things. So it's great to hear that you were in a good, solid position to weather something like that.
Thank you. And absolutely. And ironically, it hadn't been that way maybe a year or so before. The COO had been fairly new in the role, and he and I were trying to figure out how we were going to work together. And it took deliberate effort on both of our parts to put the time in to get to know one another and to build that trust and that confidence. And I'm so glad that we did. First of all, because he was an amazing person, still is. And secondly, because we wouldn't have been, to your point, able to do what we did if we hadn't built that. So anybody that thinks it's not worth the time and effort to put into relationships, I have to tell you, it really is.
I couldn't agree more. I have one last question for you. What is one thing that you think the Office of Finance should know about COO that you don't think that they necessarily understand?
They really do get finance, at least the good ones do. They understand the importance of it. No margin, no mission, no margin, no anything. And so they are not deliberately trying to spend money like crazy. There can be dialogue to help understand what their motivations are and their priorities, but it really is important to know that they want what's best for the customer and the business, and what they're doing has a purpose, even if it doesn't seem like it as you look.
Couldn't agree more. I always, I often say assume positive intent, and it really does matter, and it's important that we do that and not underestimate the folks around us and what they know about their side of the business and that they understand what it is we're all collectively trying to achieve. Now, whenever we have a guest on the show, we do have two rapid fire questions. So are you ready for those?
I'm ready.
All right. First one, what to you is the hallmark of a strong and mature finance team in terms of how they operate?
They know the business. They are proactive. They are curious. They take a look at the long term as well as the short term. And I'll come back. The reason I said that, know the business, is that they don't just deliver a financial report. They deliver information, and it helps to guide the business in the choices that we need to make.
Excellent. And the next one is, what helps you to turn a bad day around?
Well, if I'm working from home, a snuggle with my St. Bernard for 30 seconds will do a lot. But by and large, I am blessed to work in an industry where I am truly in a position to have a positive impact and to help create that healthcare system that is worthy of family and friends and sustainably affordable for everyone. And do it with people who, to your point, you have to assume positive intent sometimes, but by and large are just as mission driven. And remembering those things and that what we are doing is to create something more lasting and leave it in a better place can often help when you're having a rough day.
Thanks so much for this conversation today. Have really enjoyed having you on the show.
Thank you, Melissa. It's been a lot of fun.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more, sign up for our free newsletter, where each week you'll get a roundup of exclusive resources designed to help you grow your leadership skills and drive strategic transformation across your business. Visit thecfoshowpodcast.com to sign up now. For The CFO Show, I'm Melissa Howitson. Until next time.